Let's pray. Father, good to be here tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. And Lord, thank you for the boys and girls that have gone down to patch the pirate clubs. Bless the laborers down there. Thank you for our faithful workers and their willingness to be there and to prepare and come. And Lord, just bless their ministries. Pray you might do mighty and good things in this place as they serve you in that capacity. Lord, bless out in the activity center. Thank you for the Corneliusons and Lord, their labors there for the Lord Jesus tonight. Help them, Lord. They're getting van kids where they need to go in just a little bit, taking care of our teenagers. Lord, just pray that you would give them special grace tonight, and Lord, use their ministry and the ministry of the Word, and that our teens would grow in grace and in knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us. We want to be effective intercessors for our church family, for our community, for the world, for our missionaries. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us tonight as we hear the things that are on people's hearts and as we're reminded of the needs here in our church family and among our missionaries, that, Lord, we might let your Holy Spirit impress upon our hearts and remind us again and again in our times of prayer the needs that God's people have. And, Lord, the joy as you burden us and direct us in praying and seeing you answer. Lord, glorify your name in this place. Help us to uplift it faithfully, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you'll take your prayer bulletin there, appreciate you opening up to the center section. And if you'll notice in that center section there, little box on the right, for the first time in a while, we weren't having to move it around, and things slowing down a little bit this weekend. Operation Doorstep 645, we'll be going out telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a young man, young teenager who trusted the Lord. Say young, he's 18, but still at home, and want to pray for that follow-up there in some apartments, and pray for souls to be saved. On Thursday night, as we go out, 6:45, meet in the lunchroom, go out from there, and team up to go and get the gospel into every house. That's our goal. Praise the Lord for the opportunity the Lord has given. In the Information Center area, there are some sign-up sheets. We've got a Thanksgiving banquet coming fast, and so you'll want to make sure that you sign up your family, how many in your family are coming, and then sign up for some things to bring. That'd be a blessing. Church provides the turkey, and we provide all the fixings, and we sure look forward to rejoicing in the Lord together and fellowshipping, and you might be already thinking, you know, what are the things this year that I can rejoice in and be thankful and let others know the thanksgiving in my heart? I always love that service time after the meal where we gather back in here and you're reminded of surgeries that you'd forgotten about, jobs that the Lord has provided, so many things. And so we'll be doing that together there on that Tuesday night. Notice it is the 20th. That's a Tuesday night. No midweek prayer service on Wednesday night. We'll be gathering and praying and enjoying fellowship, testifying on Tuesday night and enjoying the banquet together. Well, men, if you'll come, we'll receive the Lord's tithes and offerings, and as they come, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we come before you, glad to be in this place, thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful for the day that you gave us. It's been a busy day for folks, but Lord, I pray as we shift gears, help us tonight to be able to open up our hearts and minds to the Word of God. And Lord, pray for those that are away from us. I think Michael tonight trying to get some things done there, got the pretty heavy load there at work and had to work late. Watch over him. I know Denise is up at the Wiles, and Lord, thank you for the opportunity for her to go to the pastor's wife fellowship there and retreat. And Lord, just pray for those dear ladies over 70 pastors' wives up there for a few days. And Lord, give them safety. Thank you for the safety you gave them there. Give them safety as they travel home on Friday. And Lord, just bless the ministry there mightily. And those ladies that are going to be ministering to the pastors' wives, may they go back enthused and ready to serve you and encourage you. What a focus of blessing their lives are, but also what a focus that Satan has to try to discourage them and wound them. And Lord, I just pray that their hearts would be encouraged up there in the mountains and use this time away and meet new friends and praying for good. And Lord, just bless in this service. We're thankful to be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Isn't that a good one? Does it ever get old? And as you think about that word grace, Romans there 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. When we talk about grace, amazing grace, the fact that God gives us the gift of salvation, we don't deserve it, but it's a gift of Him. He did all the work. Let's stand and rejoice in that. All five verses, Amazing Grace, 147. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, have already gone. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe.
Instead of saying 10,000 years, let's say forevermore. Well, we've been there forevermore. But right now, shake hands. You may need the book. You may not. We're going to do that fifth verse, when we've been there not 10,000 years, but forevermore. Let's sing that, and then we'll be seated. Ready?
When we've been there forevermore, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise.
Be seated. I appreciate you taking your Bible and turning over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're going to try to finish what we were looking at on last Wednesday night. We didn't get it all done, and so we'll look at the last point. But if you got your prayer bulletin there, you can turn it over on the back, and you can see we're looking at the last point here. Not in vain, it says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain." And what does that mean? That means wasted, poured out, useless. All right, "yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain." And how could he say that it was not in vain? What are the keys to that? Well, we found in verse 2, the ministry of the gospel through our lives. You want to live your life? Look back one day at the judgment seat of Christ, and I think we looked at some verses about things in vain, that all our works burned up, no reward. You can focus back and see the issue is the gospel. It says in verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, and listen, I can say this, and then you can think, yeah, that's good, that's true, but then you ask yourself, have I told anybody about Jesus this week? Have I shared the gospel with any person this week? Who have I passed a tract to? And, well, you understand that if our lives on this earth are to be wasted and in vain, then verse number 2, it has to do with the gospel. That's what he said, verse 2. "But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." So the gospel is important to our lives not being lived in vain on this earth. I was made to share the gospel with other people. You say, "Oh, preacher, I don't have that gift." Now, I'm with you. I believe that there are folks, the Bible talks about the gift of evangelists, and folks that just seem to be super gifted at sharing Jesus Christ with other people. And I've met them, and I marvel, and I learn everything I can from them. But I do know this, everybody has an obligation. Aren't you glad that maybe the person who led you to Christ did not have the gift of evangelism? And so, I can't talk to you about Jesus. Sorry, I don't have the gift of evangelism. No, I'm thankful that they shared Christ with me and that I came to know Christ as my Savior. Look at verse 6. Here's the second huge area. We've got 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. It's about the gospel. So, I was put here to share the gospel with some people. And God has given me a circle of influence and folks that he wants me to share the gospel with. Down in verse 6, whether my life is lived on this earth in vain. And one day God is going to measure. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And in verse 6 it says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." So, number one, my life can be lived in vain. I can be world's greatest Christian. Everybody can love me. It can be wonderful. I can get my pen coming to Sunday school 50 years straight. But my works burn up because, guess what? I was put here to share Christ with folks. And then down in verse 6, I was not put here to share God's glory, with my glory, to get that mixed up. It's about his glory. And so God has designed ways for my life to reflect upon him. And in verse 6, "Nor men sought we glory." So the gospel and then glory. And then the third thing, and that's down to 13. That's what we want to look at tonight in the brief time we have. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God," please look at it there, okay? 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. This is vitally, vitally important tonight. Ready? "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God." That's a mouthful. You actually let it get past all of the things that the human being and the human mind puts up to resist the word of God, even when you've been saved forever. And you've been saved 50 years, and you say, "Listen, I know everything about the Bible." Well, that sometimes that's the hardest person to receive the word of God, is someone who sat in church for thousands of messages because they think they know everything. Verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And so, wow, I've got to get the the light of God's Word into my heart. I've got to assimilate it, take it into my heart. And as I receive the Word of God, it works effectually in me and the measure of my life. Remember chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. Our labors there were not wasted." My life was not wasted. What's the basis of it? Three measuring sticks. Number one, the gospel that I was about in my time on this earth, reaching the men and women that God brought across my path. And number two, the glory of God, that I didn't rob God of His glory and try to take it for myself. That, no, I wanted to glorify God. That's why I exist, is to bring glory to God. We were made to fellowship and worship the Lord and to glorify Him, fellowship with Him. And then the third issue is how much of God's Word I've taken in. How God's Word has worked effectually in my heart and made me the different person that God wants me to make, to be, rather. If you'll notice, there's some quotes and things as a little means of introduction at the top of the prayer sheet there on the back. And the key to knowing God is through His Word. I heard one time of a person said, "You know, I just go out and have my quiet time. I sit under a big tree in my yard and I just look into the sky and have wonders, you know, wonders at the creation of God." And I thought, that's really great. There's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing sinful about that. But you'll never really know the Lord that way. All those things were there. Romans describes it to bring a person to salvation, to realize, hey, there must be a Creator. I want to know that Creator. And when that heart begins to seek the Lord, God sends the soul winner along, us who are not wasting our lives. We're busy getting the gospel to others, and we have the opportunities to share Jesus Christ with them. The only way I can know the Lord is the way in which He's designed on this earth. It's through this book, through reading it and assimilating it, taking it into my heart and mind. There's a quote from D.L. Moody, who was a converted shoe salesman who came to know Christ and became a great evangelist. They say that there are over 1 million people that came to Christ through his ministry. That's an amazing thing, especially in the day in which he lived. Here's his quote: "God did not give us the Bible to increase our intellectual knowledge." You know, you're going to have a problem if the only reason you go to the Bible is just to get smarter about the Bible, to win Bible trivia, to do well in Jeopardy when they come to a Bible category. And God did not give us a Bible to increase our intellectual knowledge, but He gave it to us to change our lives. Hey, where did He get that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Did you see that last phrase about the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe? What does that mean? It changes you. You're not the same person that you were before because the Word of God gets into your heart and mind. I heard of a man. It came through a man by the name of Dr. Sumner, who wrote a book on the Word of God. And in that book, he gave an illustration of a man's love for the Word of God. A Christian man had been involved in a terrible industrial accident, and the explosion blinded him and took both of his hands. He was a fine Christian, and he loved the Lord, and he loved His Word. And the thing that broke him the most was not that he would be disabled for the rest of his life, not that he would not be able to see and to enjoy life, and that was a terrible thing, a terrible blow to him. But ultimately, it was the fact that he had no means of being able to take God's Word in. He could not read it for himself. He had thought about Braille. In fact, he came across a situation, that very man did, of a woman in another country who loved God's Word, and she learned Braille, and she was actually able to read the Bible using her lips. And he said, that's it. And he began to learn Braille, and they were able to get him a Braille Bible. But when he tried it, he found out something terrible. And that was that his lips, not only had he lost his eyesight, but his lips had lost a great deal of their feeling. And so he couldn't even do that. He was terribly discouraged. And then a thought came to him, and he felt it was from the Lord. He remembered that when he had his lips down on that page, trying to read those bumps, those little dots on that Braille Bible, that his tongue had brushed across the Braille. And he went back and he began trying it, and he said, I can do it. I can read God's word by using Braille and my tongue, and I can take God's word into my life. I need it now more than ever. One day we will stand in line at the judgment seat of Christ behind men and women and teens and boys and girls who have that same kind of testimony, their love of the Word of God. And tonight, we want to avoid a wasted life. We need to take in everything we can of the Word of God. We need to discipline ourselves, to read it daily. We need to, in services like this, in Sunday school hours, when, oh, boy, I was up late last night, that we take the Word of God and say, God, quicken my mind. Allow me to receive the Word to my heart. Now, I'm convinced that many believers come to God, and I just picture it this way. Have you seen one of those old boats where the guy's got the rain slicker on, you know, the fishing boat, he's got the galoshers on, he's got the gloves on, he's got the slicker on and stuff. And a lot of believers come to God's house, and that's exactly how they approach the Word of God. The water is flowing in that place. It's flowing in the testimonies in fellowship. It's flowing in the music and the words of that music. It's flowing in the preaching and teaching of God's Word. There's a flood going on, and they walk out as dry as a bone, because they wore a slicker to God's house. Don't wear a slicker tonight. Let the Word of God seep deep into your heart. Now, I'd just love for you to notice it. And as we did last week, we just took the time that we had. If we don't get all this in, we don't get all this in. That's okay, so don't get worried, all right? And say, well, he hasn't come very far. No, we'll go as far as we can, and we'll stop tonight. But if you'll notice, number one on that sheet, it says the goal is that we walk worthy of the Lord. And where'd you get that from? Well, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, right before this verse, on the fact that the Apostle Paul says, our entrance wasn't in vain. It wasn't wasted. How did he know it wasn't wasted? Because these people were changed by the Word of God. They received the Word of God into their hearts. And in verse 12, he said this, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Our goal is to walk worthy and to bring glory to God. Now, I have a calling on my life. And that calling is that I was created to reflect well upon my Creator, to bring glory to him. I'm not sure all the ways that God has designed yet in my life for that to take place. But it is unfolding day by day. Circumstances happen, situations come up, and the Lord has chosen to glorify himself in certain ways in our lives. Some people go through great suffering, and in that suffering, they glorify God. It's just like the Wesco family we prayed for last week. We'll pray for them tonight. I believe they're stateside now, as I understand. But they lost the missionary there, Brother Charles. Total accident there on the mission field in Cameroon. Bullet was not meant to take out the American, but he's in a dangerous place. Two missionaries, he was in there, his wife was in there, child in the vehicle, and wham, he was gone. And his wife is called upon to glorify God in those circumstances. His brother, who was a state senator in Indiana, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm glad I've not been asked to glorify God in that way. But I know God has chosen to glorify himself. He's designed our lives, and that's what he's looking for. And how am I going to be able to do that? Well, I've got to have the Word of God. I've got to be feeding upon the Word of God. It's changing me in those circumstances so that I can reflect well upon my God and glorify him. Now, the devil's out to degrade all human beings. We see things today in society, and we think, I don't think it could get any worse. The person's language and their actions and aren't they even ashamed? And what's going on? And, well, Satan, he's about degrading human beings because we were made in the image of God, and he loves to flaunt that in the face of God when you see some guy in the gutter over here and drugs has got his life or alcohol has got his life. He just loves to toss that in the face of God. Look at what you look like. Mighty, almighty God. And he loves to, before God's universe, to throw that into the face of God. How God loves to reach down and say, have you considered my servant Job? How he loves to reach down and say, you know, have you considered the Wesco family? And what their responses have been, Ms. Wesco and their children and their church and their parents and their in-laws and their mission board and God's people across the country and the world. And have you considered that? How God loves to bring glory to himself through our lives. How Satan is fighting so that our lives will degrade him and will degrade us and therefore deflect glory from God. The crown of my Creator is that I want to do his will. God has made us to be just like his Son, and Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I live to do the will of the Father, and that's what God wants of us. Now, we were created to reflect the Lord's glory. I love this about the days of creation. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he went about creating, first of all, light. And most people read over that, and they don't think a lot about it, but it was like day four that he created the sun, moon, and stars. Light existed. God said, let there be light. And long before the sun ever got lit up, long before the stars ever came to be, long before the moon was hung in space, because God said it would be so, there was light. And so tonight, God loves for his creation to reflect his light and his glory. And God has created things like the moon, and all it does is just reflect the sun. And God has made our lives to reflect him. Look at number two on that list. We've got the goal. It is that we walk worthy of the Lord. But God has given us this marvelous gift, and it's called the Word of God. And what a blessing it is to have the Bible, that God has marvelously inspired it. Let's go ahead and go over there. We're not far from a great passage on that. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. What a blessing this passage is, that God is telling us for the great assurance that all the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word God has chosen and spoken, he's recorded it, he has preserved it. What a blessing as a believer that as I hold my King James Bible and I open it in the morning time and see what God has to say to me, that I have confidence that I am holding the Word of God and that God is going to speak to me through the pages of Scripture. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is that? Well, that's the effectual working of the Word of God in my heart. I love 2 Samuel 23, 2, David on his deathbed. If there ever was a moment a man was going to say, listen, I've got something that got off my chest. Those Psalms, they didn't come from God, and I just want everybody to know it, okay, and I can die in peace. And, no, the Bible says that on his deathbed, 2 Samuel 23, 2, he said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And so I've got a supernatural book. And if I can get its truths past all my rain slicker and my umbrella that I've, and let it get into my mind and heart, it will be effective. It will change me, and that's what God wants me to do. Now, I notice these people were changed because of a few things, and that's under the issue of their confidence in the Lord. It says in chapter 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. You didn't just think it was a man's idea or of opinion, but it says, as it is in truth, the word of God. You said, God said that. And he said, you're right, because God said those things. We've been doing in the little kids' chapel the life of Moses. And I understand that they're doing it in Pat's Pirate Club and doing it in junior church. And so our kids must need something about Moses. There's something in there. Or maybe all of our adults. We need something about Moses. I learn about Moses every time you do something like that in chapel, or Joseph, or whoever we're doing, Abraham. I learn things about their lives that I didn't know. But you know, if you read there when God gave the Ten Commandments, and you're careful there, you'll realize that he gave it directly to God's people. They gathered there below the mount. They fenced it off so they wouldn't impose on that mountain and maybe touch something they shouldn't and have to pay for it with their lives, because God's a holy God. And they saw the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the clouds descend on Mount Sinai. And then God spoke 10 things from that mountain, and that is his moral law. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And they heard the voice of God, and they knew that it was the Lord speaking. It scared them so badly, they told Moses, listen, you be our representative. You next time you go up the mountain, you talk to God. If he talks directly to us again, we'll die. We know we'll all die. And so you be, and he was. God called Moses up, and God took some tablets and used his finger, and he wrote those Ten Commandments on there, God's moral law, and he became a go-between for the people. But if you'll notice there, the people here in Thessalonica, they also respected the sovereign authority of God to speak to them. And they realized and wanted God's rule over their marriage, their business, their children, their church, their issues of baptism. They wanted to know what God said, and they wanted to do what God said. And so they were confident in the sovereign authority of God, and that's awfully important for this book. You know, we have something in our society. We are not... You know, if you go to a foreign country, if you go to France, the people that live in France, the overwhelming majority of people are French. I mean, they have a culture and a heritage. They are descended from Frenchmen, and so they're French. You go to Italy, they're Italian, and they have a basis of unity in their nation that goes all the way back to their descendants. But we have this nation that is only a few hundred years old. And the basis of our nation is belief in rule and order in a constitutional document that was written over many years, but most of it was written back in the 1700s by our forefathers, and how God gave them wisdom. I believe that they might be shocked to know that today that same form of government is exactly in place as it was in those days, with very minor changes. And I think they would probably be astounded. Why? Because they knew they didn't have enough sense to do something like that. Who did? God. And I believe God directed in the founding of our nation. But that constitutional document is extremely important to hold us together as a nation. Because when an issue comes up that we have disagreement on, what do? We go to the Constitution. The Constitution says that this is right and this is wrong, and you can't do this. It's right there in the Constitution. And because we respect together as Americans, we say, listen, I'm backing off. You're right. It's absolutely, it's been established that that is right. We're talking about this a little bit in chapel with the older kids today, and we're talking about praying Scrabble. How many of you are Scrabble players? You like to play that? How many of you never played Scrabble before and don't intend to ever? Okay, a few. All right. Probably be happier, right? Yeah, you're making those words. You drawing your little squares there, and the least used alphabets, letters. The more points you get. And then somebody flops down a long word, and either you know it's misspelled or you know it's not a word. And, of course, I was telling them, it's hard for them to understand those days, but used to, you kind of would go and find a dictionary. And in the dictionary, in there would be the spelling of the word. And guess what? If it wasn't in there, close the book. We got it. It's our authority. Now you take your phone and say, Siri, how do you spell? And Siri spells it for you. And so, you go to Google or whatever, Google it, how do you spell? And you get the spelling of the word, and so Siri becomes the authority. But as a believer, for this book to be taken into my life, it must genuinely be my authority. I can't be, and a lot of people are that way with the will of God. Oh, I really want to know the will of God. God, what do you want me to do? Lord, show me, and I'll do your will. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. What do you mean? There's actually something in the Bible about what I'm saying? I just was curious. I may do that, I may not do that. Well, God's Word must be an authority over my life for me to take it in and for it to change me and effectually work. And so that's extremely important. Is it an authority? Can anybody tell you what to do? Can God Himself tell you what, your Creator tell you what to do? Well, that's why we search this book. That's why we read it. God, what do you have to say to me today? What do you want me to do? And then I notice there's a simple reception to my heart and mind and a surrender to act on it. And would you notice something, though, as we finish up here, where it says the gift of the Word of God is talking about our confidence, but it also talks about a choice that we have. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 13, it's recorded in other places as the great parable of the sower. And you're probably pretty familiar with that. Remember, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed the seed there, and some of it fell by the wayside on those paths that were that people would walk through the fields to get to their field and their patch, and it was all stomped down with people's feet and sandals and all the traffic going through there. So when the seed got on there, the birds were ready. They'd come in, they'd steal that seed, take off with it, so happy. And then some of the seed would get on the ground that was kind of rocky. It looked good, but down under the surface there wasn't much there. And then some of it got in what seemed to be pretty good soil, so much so that the plant seemed to start growing, but then it died. And as you dug down into the soil, you found out that the roots got all wrapped around stuff that was way underneath there, and thorns and things, the cares of this world. And then some of it got on good ground. One quarter of it got on good ground. And boy, it brought forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But I realized tonight, that's my heart. And tonight I may have come to this service, and guess what? Bless me if you can. You know, I tell you what, I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm not so sure. But I've got to come and say, Lord, I'm cultivating my heart. I'm prepared. You know, that's one reason we actually sing before a service. We prepare our hearts by singing. One thing God commands us to, the book of Colossians, that we're to encourage each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. But we prepare our hearts. And that's why we have a choir sing on Sundays. That's why we have soloists sing. And we want them to help us to get ourselves ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. And guess what? The only person that can do that is me. I have to prepare my heart to do that, my soul. And what happens when that takes place? Why, spiritual progress and growth. I can grow as fast as I want to. What is spiritual growth? There's three things on that sheet. Do you see it under B? Number two, spiritual progress and growth. When a person begins to grow in the Lord, they become aware of the Lord. You know, I love to get around folks and they're growing in the Lord. And suddenly it's like every other word. You know, the Lord was so good to me today. I tell you what, I went over to the store and I needed this. And I got there. And what do you know? There was one left, and it was in great shape, and I bought it, and God took care of me. The only one in Buford, and there it was at Lowe's, and I desperately needed it, and I got it. God's so good to me, isn't He? And everywhere they go, they realize, oh, look at that. God's taking care of me. I got stopped by this stoplight. Who knows what wreck is ahead? The Lord taking care of me. And what is that? It's an awareness of God. He's not way off in the sky. He's right here with me right now. The Bible says He's omnipresent, and He is definitely involved in my day because He wants to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. He wants me to spread the gospel. He's giving me opportunities. He wants me to receive His Word into my heart and into my life. He wants me to glorify Him, and so He's deeply involved in my day. And just look around and become aware of it. That's spiritual growth. And then areas of obedience. You know, we got saved. The Lord, you know, son, you need to get saved. Need to trust Jesus Christ. I do. Would you explain that? They explain it. And we realize, you know what, I believe you're right. And we cry out to the Lord and we're saved. But we're sure now we're totally obedient to the Lord in every area. But God knows every little pocket of resistance in my life. And the Lord is busily working those pockets so that I come head to head and say, Lord, I'm not obeying you in that, am I? God, forgive me. Lord, help me to live right and to honor you and to glorify you and to bring blessing to you, Lord, areas of obedience. And then attentions to the opportunities of service. We got close. And would you look at number three on that list? And that is the wonderful working of the Word of God tonight. And what a blessing. But before I look at that, would you look at the very bottom? Do you see that? It says sword, S-W-O-R-D, right? And where does that come from? Well, the Bible is the blank of the Spirit, right? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's a little acrostic. But somewhere you might keep that around you for the next few weeks. And as you come to the Word of God and you want the Word to work in your heart, then follow the sword, okay? S stands for this, seeking God. Don't come to the Bible and say, oh man, I tell you what, I got to get my Bible reading in here. It's just highlight it there. What am I behind 2 days now? I got to catch up. And all you're thinking about is, well, I gotta highlight my Bible reading calendar, and I'm a little behind here, and so I'm going to catch up. And no, friend, I got to seek the Lord. I'm coming to the Bible because God is going to communicate to me. He has things to say to me, and so I'm going to allow Him to communicate with me. And so I'm going to seek the Lord. Look at the W. I come to the Bible so that I can worship the Lord, and that day God knows exactly what areas of His person that He wants me to be attentive to, because things are going to be happening in my life. Elections are happening, murders are happening, bank crashes are happening, car crashes are happening, all kinds of things are happening. And what is God doing as I go to the Word? He's showing me areas that I can worship Him in and glorify Him from my heart. There are also things He's going to show me about areas of obedience. Again, those pockets of resistance. Oh, I'm the perfect Christian. I was there Wednesday night, and I know the Lord loves those that come on Wednesday night. But you know what? There's some areas of my life where I lack obedience, and the Lord wants to put His finger on it and say, this offends a holy God. I want you to have a right heart in this. And so I'm looking for areas of obedience. Maybe I've never seen it before. And I realize, well, look at there. This is something that should be so in my life. Or, you know, this is something that is so that doesn't belong there. Lord, thank you for showing me that. I love you and I appreciate you helping me. And then R stands for that wonderful continual spirit of repentance. That humbleness before God that says, you're God and I'm a sinful human being. And God, I just need your help every day. And Lord, there's just that heart of repentance concerning issues that offend the holy God. And then D, God is going to show me some things to make life miserable for the devil. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you like today to think that your life made the devil miserable? How could you do that? The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Doesn't the devil love for you to quote scripture to him? Doesn't he love for you to take the promises of God that apply to what he's just whispered in your ear of the unfairness of a holy God to ask you to go through that? And well, just that day, I was having devotions, devil. And look here, it says this about the Lord, and there's his promise. And suddenly, I don't hear from the devil anymore. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So tonight, the real key is assimilating and taking in the Word of God. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word. Have you received it tonight? Been too busy, too distracted, too many messages on the phone, too tired, all the excuses we give, well, at least I'm here. And here's this great opportunity God has given us to receive His Word. Sword, what areas about seeking the Lord there? God wants me to seek Him. Lord, I've come here and I want to hear from you. Oh God, please show me yourself, show me your truth. Help me to learn about you in this brief time I have in the Word, this brief time I have in my Sunday school class. God, teach me something about you. And Lord, show me the areas that today I need to be worshiping you in. And Lord, help me. I want to obey you. And Lord, I want to live an obedient life just like my Savior. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And I want to have a right spirit, a humble spirit before You, Lord. You hate a spirit of pride. And Lord, I want to be able to defend myself, and I want to help defend others who may not be in the Word of God, but as they say things, sometimes they're foolish. Without being proud or uppity or foolish, I can share with them how to defend themselves, because it was just there in God's Word in my devotional life. The sword, seeking God, worshiping God, obeying God, a repentant spirit, and defending. And what happens? Praise the Lord, my faith is increased, and I'm freed from the ungodly, miserable attitudes. Full healing. How many times have I seen as a pastor folks who've gone through horrendous things in their lives, and they begin to assimilate in their hearts and lives the Word of God, and they found healing. How did they find that? A psychologist would be interested. Well, it's from the Lord, and it's from His Word, Him communicating His Word. And I want to build something. I want to build a godly life, a godly home, and a godly legacy. And it doesn't just happen. One last time, let me read it. I love this passage, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And Jennifer, appreciate her playing for us tonight. I think she was supposed to be down in Pee Wee Patch, and she's with us tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. Going to ask you this question. Number one, are you saved? Don't take that for granted. Maybe here tonight you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, there's no way that a person who doesn't know Christ can understand the Word of God. In fact, you know, you can explain it to them. You can take charts. You can do all kinds of things. And all they get is an intellectual knowledge. They don't get any spiritual help from the Bible, because they're disconnected from the author, who is God Himself. They need God's Holy Spirit within them to understand it. And perhaps tonight you say, maybe that's why I don't understand the Bible. Maybe it's because I've never been saved, and I need Jesus Christ. In a minute, we'll be standing, heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. Meet me here. Let me get you with someone that can take the Bible and show you how to trust Jesus and be saved. Won't you do that tonight? Number two, you may be here in this service tonight, and you know what? You are saved. You know you're saved. But, you know, the Lord hit the nail on the head in your heart. The Bible is not effectually working in my life. I'm wearing a rain slicker. I'm wearing rain boots. I've got an umbrella, and I got gloves on. I come through a place where the Word of God is flowing and the sweet water of the Word is there. But what's it doing? It's just running like water off a duck's back. Perhaps tonight you'd ask the Lord to help you take the rain slicker off and fold up the umbrella and leave it on the front porch, like so many folks do when it rains and they forget about it. They don't need it till the next time. And so we collect all kinds of umbrellas around here. Just leave it, okay? And let the Lord, let His Word flow to your heart. Father, thank You for the opportunity to look at these great truths. Three great areas: sharing the gospel, a life that genuinely glorifies You, and God's Word being effectual in our hearts, are going to help us from living a life that is wasted. And tonight, we certainly, in this Laodicean age, are wasting the tremendous opportunities that You're giving us. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's one without Christ, that on the first note that Jennifer plays for us in just a moment, they would come on. Let me help them. And then, Lord, I pray for believers who are here tonight, and Lord, You've spoken to them about some areas of their life I wouldn't even begin to know, but You and Your marvelous power and wisdom through Your Holy Spirit, You can address all kinds of things once the Word is open and preached. And they've let the seed of the Word of God fall in some good ground. Something good's happened here tonight in their heart. God, I pray they'd come and acknowledge that and deal with the things that You're dealing with them about tonight in this place. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Won't you